Welcome to What's Ailing America with your host, Dr. Rebecca Carling, the world's only court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases.
Namaste and welcome back to another edition of What's Ailing America, one of your most important weapons in fighting the war on truth being waged against the people by the mainstream media. The views expressed on this broadcast are not endorsed by BBS Radio, its staff or management, or represent the views and opinions of the host, guests, and callers. Additionally, the information I share with you is not to be construed as medical advice. Rather, I am merely teaching you what I would do if I were you after much research on each subject. To learn about my work explaining and reversing vaccine-induced diseases, please go to the www.drcarling.com and listen to the interview of myself by the Chiropractic Leadership Alliance to learn how I transformed from a trauma surgeon to a court-qualified expert in vaccine-induced diseases and how the medical mafia has responded to my stepping out of the box. Make sure you sign up for the updates on my site as I send out important information you need to know through my list. I do consults for people and pets with autoimmune diseases, seizures, or cancer, and teach you how to reverse these conditions with natural therapies. I have clients all over the world and create your individual protocols based solely on history alone. You do not need to travel to North Carolina to see me in person. Please call me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week to learn how I do consults. My phone number is also on my website. I ask you to consider the information I share with you using your own innate intelligence, the common sense you were all given by your Creator. Do not believe anything I tell you. Check things out for yourself, for we have been lied to about everything, and each person must develop the ability to discern the truth for themselves if we are to extricate ourselves from the matrix of darkness that has evolved because we sat by and did nothing, especially with a legion of disinformers out there. My guests and I love to answer your questions, so feel free to call in. You can use your first name only if you like, and all shows are archived. The numbers to call in are listed on the BBSRadio.com website, if you can do, and include the following: toll-free USA and Canada, 888-228-4494, toll-free worldwide, 877-489-6350. Every week I will answer the question, what's ailing America, with a different response, as well as share the good news as to what can heal America on many levels. My goal is to assist in the evolution of consciousness on this planet, for awareness of the truth shall set us free. And I know that once enough of us have become aware that we have been lied to about everything, including the fact that vaccines are good when they are actually inoculations with disease, and those are the true weapons of mass destruction, together we will be able to stop this holocaust on the health of people and pets. That truth, when put on top of the mountain of lies upon which this country is built, will cause the entire mountain of lies to crumble. And in regards to that mountain of lies crumbling, please do tune in to my show on republicbroadcasting.org this Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, where Dr. Andrew Mulden will again be my guest. If you didn't hear the archive from last week, folks, you must listen to that. He has developed a technology that's proving that what I've been saying for 10 years is true. On tonight's show, we are going to answer the question, what's ailing America, with the response of Freemasons, with my very special guest, Tim Watson, professor from Canada. And Tim Watson's website is Shakes a Sphere. That's Shakes with an S, asphere.com. He's also got a internet radio show on thatradio.com on Mondays from 10 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And I welcome you to the show, Tim. Thank you so much for being on to share with our guests your wealth of information as to what's up with the Freemasons. Let me also just mention that Jim has a book called The Ethics of Timelessness that you can get from going to Amazon.com. And also he wrote a book called Gandhi Under Cross-Examination. And it's quite amazing, actually. I met Tim a number of years ago, and his book, The Ethics of Timelessness, is to education what my information is to medicine. He's basically showing how the infiltration of the secret societies has affected everything that's going on in the world, and that's what people have to realize, because once we understand that everything bad that's happening is being done on purpose, of course, once we shine a light on those bad people doing these things, things will change in a heartbeat. So welcome to the show, Tim.
Thank you, Rebecca. Very nice to be with you. I just saw a couple of things tonight that have alerted me to another Masonic conspiracy. There's an article, Rebecca, that I just read from the Canadian Press, and it's pertaining to health news, and it goes into stats, projected stats on how many Canadians will fall not just ill, but probably with terminal illness, they will succumb, and they're putting the projected number at about 800,000 by the year 2031 based on air pollution.
Really?
They call it dirty air. Well, we know what it is. It's chemtrails and depleted uranium. When people think about depleted uranium, and they've probably heard about it and how it's been deployed in the bombing sorties out in the Middle East, and I think they probably think, well, that's not going to affect me. Well, you know, these one-ton bombs that send the huge mushroom clouds up into the stratosphere, they certainly would actually, the DU dust would certainly go worldwide, and it has set off radiation alarms in the UK, and it has been detected in terms of its presence in India. I have no doubt that it's gone worldwide. How many parts per million would it take to actually harm us in terms of lung disease, etc.? I'm sure that we can factor in that as a probable cause of many of these health effects that they're projecting. But what disturbs me, Rebecca, about the article that appears on the internet, I saw it at Yahoo News, is that you have a nurse wearing a mask, and her eyes are directed up toward heaven. Now, you could say, okay, well, she's, you know, looking up at the sky. She's perhaps anticipating a problem, air pollution being what she has her eyes on. She's looking up into the sky. But I would like to suggest that it has a far more nefarious coded meaning. I've done a little bit of a study on this, and some of our world leaders in the EU and other prominent political leaders around the world often direct their eyes towards heaven in a mocking gesture. This is a blasphemous, satanic look of mocking defiance towards heaven, commonly employed by Masons. It mocks the Ave Angel, who is often represented in religious art as turning his eyes toward heaven before his death in a visual representation of his so-called last words, "Father, Father, why have you forsaken me?" So the deaths here predicted are probably attributable to DU poisoning and chemtrail attacks by the Illuminati.
Well, I agree with you, and I will refer the listeners, if you have not already done so, to go to my website, drcrowley.com, and look at my first diagram, which is the big picture. And that has the cause of all disease on one sheet of paper. And what I realized many years ago is that it's all of these assaults that they're bringing on us. the inoculations, the drugs, the chemo, the radiation, the pesticides, the fluoride, the heavy metals, the radiation, including depleted uranium. It's all of these assaults together, which, when combined, eventually reach critical mass in the body and cause us to develop symptoms of disease. The good news is that all of these things can be detoxed, and I teach people how to do that with homeopathy. But once enough people realize that this is, in fact, being done on purpose, these minions, these elitists, the Illuminati, the Illuminated Freemasons, they're all one part of the same cabal, and they come in all flavors. All religions are involved in this group. They are doing these things on purpose. And that's what we have to realize, is that their intention is to decrease the population. As a matter of fact, in the excellent book Behold the Pale Horse by William Cooper, he talks about this as well. They want to decrease the population basically to World War II levels. And this is because the minions in control of the world feel that there's too many of the cattle, and they want to bring us down to more controllable numbers. Of course, they can't tell us outright that that's what they're doing, because the people might get a little bit upset knowing that they're being killed off. And so they do it in various ways. Of course, wars are highly involved, and they make a lot of money off the wars as well. But people have to face this reality. This is not a conspiracy theory, but a conspiracy reality, and either decide to stand up and do something about it or be killed off, because that's what's going to happen. And I feel very strongly, I know in my heart that we are waking up a critical mass of people. I'm getting so many calls and emails, although I encourage all of you to call rather than email, because my email is hacked into on such a regular basis, I can't always get in. But the people are waking up, and they're realizing that this world that they're creating is not going to be worth living in. So we might as well stand up in a massive outpouring of, you know, just being not accepting what they're doing. I don't promote a revolution, but rather an evolution of consciousness. And once enough people fire these minions, no matter what country they're in, because all these countries are involved, all these different conflicts that are going on are just basically distractions. The puppet masters are playing chess, and that's what people have to realize. As a matter of fact, Tim, we didn't discuss it yesterday, but what do you think's going on with this Georgia-Russia conflict? You know, I haven't figured that out yet. What is the reason why they're distracting us with that? Although a lot of people are laughing out loud watching Bush go on TV and talk about Russia invading a sovereign country, talk about hypocrisy. But have you figured out any reason as to why this distraction is occurring at this time?
Well, certainly it's partially an issue of creating another security nightmare for Russia, similar to the one that Zbigniew Brzezinski, the national security advisor under Jimmy Carter, had boasted about quite widely, pertaining to his creation using CIA money to the tune of $3.5 billion, which allowed him to create several security threats, that is, the Taliban, the Mujahideen, and Al-Qaeda, which, as terrorist organizations, were deployed in Central Asia, most specifically Afghanistan, to create a security threat, which he boasts quite arrogantly about as having, in his view, led to the demise of the Soviet Empire, because it created what he had hoped for, which was their Vietnam, an unwinnable war that would cause them to expend all their resources and soldiers on a conflict that just couldn't be won. Afghanistan is the most fortified country in the world. It's 90% mountains, so winning a war is well nigh impossible, and it's consumed virtually every great imperial army in history that's tried to invade it. So that's part of it. It's no doubt designed to create a serious security threat, which will distract Russia from what is another problem of our time, which is the current showdown between Iran and the United States. But let's not kid ourselves about the resource grab here, because two very, very important pipelines run through Georgia, and we're talking about, I think it's the second biggest oil pipeline in the world. It's a very, very significant strategic value, and in the current showdown between the superpowers, there seems to be some kind of a resource grab going on. So it's probably a combination of factors, Rebecca.
As it always is, but we all know that they're doing things for nefarious purposes, and it's totally unnecessary. And anyways, could you give our listeners a brief history of the Freemasons? I know this is a subject we could talk about for days, and you certainly have the knowledge base to do so. But if you could just try to give our listeners a brief history of the Freemasons, why they're very dangerous, and how they're affecting our world as it is today.
It's clear to me that their history definitely comes from ancient roots. So how far we care to trace it back to would be pretty much controversial ground or territory to enter into, because I think we're talking about multiple roots for a start, and we're also talking about multiple different time references. But I would say that among their roots would be King Solomon's time, I think also you want to look to Egypt and the great stonemasonry activities that were taking place there, and you want to look at ancient Sumer, and some of their mythology goes back to ancient Atlantis. I know that Jachin and Boaz, the pillars of the temple, which are supposed to be symbolic of great import, are at the front of the portico, if you like, of the temple, the Masonic temple, are supposed to commemorate the destruction of Atlantis, and it's the twin pillars of the temple in the great temple of Atlantis that were destroyed by fire and water. And we saw this again with the World Trade Center, the Twin Towers, which represent the entrance portico, if you like, to the New York Financial District, which is one giant Masonic temple in its own right. So those twin pillars represent Jachin and Boaz, which I understand mean in Hebrew strength and foundation, and these are the twin support columns for the temple in Jerusalem, King Solomon's temple. So the Masons, there's some debate about it. William Cooper believes that it was a nefarious organization from the outset, and these stories about it being a very ethical organization that intended upon edifying humankind in some way and creating a foundation for the betterment and the improvement of the human condition in a kind of alchemical, ethical structure that would allow us to climb through the tree of life to a higher, more exalted state of consciousness. He thinks this is all hogwash, and many researchers agree with him that he thinks that it's one grand deception, and they have this outward appearance of wanting to improve humankind and wanting to stand for what is good and ethical, and you know, we take ordinary men and we make them better, this kind of motto that they reinforce in their literature. I just don't know what to say, other than my suspicion is that there has always been a black and a white and a red tint path. And I think there are in all of our organizations on the planet, the good, the bad, and the ugly. But I'd just like to say that if a organization, and whether it be, you know, the Islamic religion or the Catholic Church or the Masonic fraternity or the Masonic order, if an organization does not police itself, if it does not endeavor to remove criminal elements from itself, and where misdemeanors are committed, take disciplinary action toward those involved, then it is complicit and culpable in the mess that it makes and must lie in the bed of its own making. And so I cannot but find fault of the highest nature with Freemasonry, because its own protocols prevent it from doing so, because the brother stands toe-to-toe with the brother. He's on the square with the brother. As you pointed out in yesterday's show, he is obliged to protect his brother and to stand by him in all instances, and even if criminal misdemeanors have been committed, to cover for his brother. The network, the whole network, Masonic network, goes into a defensive mode to protect a brother regardless of what has transpired. Well, and I think when you think about it, the slave trade and the drug trade, both forms of contraband, they were able to prosper, if you like, because the Knights Templar and the Freemasons did follow this brotherhood protocol. So customs and immigration would have moles, Freemason or Knight Templar moles, that would look the other way. The mayor of a major port city like New York would be looking the other way. The top police chief in the city would be looking the other way. And so when you look at Operation Top Off, as in top officials, that's in essence the way they operate. They make sure that they exercise control over the highest officials in the hierarchical pyramid within society. And then it's not about issuing threats necessarily. It's not about bullying people and cajoling them and twisting their arm, because you don't have to. If you've got a superior telling you to do something, regardless of whether you're a corporate official, an immigration official, a police official, or what have you, people know the protocol. They know well enough. They've been employed for most of their life. They know that you follow orders. If your employer tells you to do something, you do it. Otherwise, you stand to be fired. And very often, it doesn't take a death threat. It doesn't take a threat upon your livelihood or the well-being of your family. It only takes the threat of you losing your job position or your status or being demoted or losing rank. This is enough pressure for most people to kowtow and to obey and to comply. And, you know, it's sad to say, but that is the case. And so I think that a lot of the terrible things that we've witnessed in our history, like Nazi Germany and so on, are the consequence not really of a widespread malignant evil in the heart of man, but just simply fear and, shall I say, cowardice. People are not willing to, in large part, do what is right, because they fear the consequences of doing so, and they would much prefer to preserve the well-being of themselves and their family than to take compassion upon those that are in need or in trouble.
Let me comment on that, Tim, because it's so important what you're saying, and that's why everyone is responsible for us getting into the dark state that we have now gotten into, because people are willing to do as you said, basically just go along to get along, and even though they see the evil around them being perpetrated against their fellow man, they don't stand up and do anything because they figure, well, you know, I'm doing fine, so what do I care? Little do they realize that every aspect of our world has been corrupted. The judicial system, the medical system, educational system, and religion. And everything is going down the tubes because everybody has this same basic view, and that's why we're in this trouble that we're in. And that's why we have the world that we have because of that fact. And it's going to take a number of people of conscience to stand up and say that they are not going to be part of that world, that they're going to do the right thing no matter what it costs. Once enough people do that, everything is going to change in a heartbeat. And along the religion aspect, I'm very glad you mentioned the Catholic Church, because it's really amazing. The Catholic Church actually was totally against the Masons way back when. I believe Pope Leo the 13th was the last pope who actually wrote an article about the Masons and how if anyone was a Mason, they would not be permitted in the Catholic Church. P2 standing for Propaganda 2 within the Vatican. But now, as it turns out, the Vatican has totally been taken over by Masons. And I myself had a very interesting experience when I was living in Long Island a few years ago. A bishop of the Catholic Church that I was helping, he was my patient, and he brought me into his traditional Catholic Church and introduced me to all his sheep and, you know, sang my praises and talked about how much I was helping him with his health issues, and then presented me with a statue of the Virgin Mother. And she was huge. I mean, it was about two-thirds of my height. I'm 5'2". And amazingly, when I got home, something told me there was something wrong with this picture, and I turned her upside down, and I found a bug in the Virgin Mother statue. So that's when I realized that this bishop of the Catholic Church, traditional Catholic Church, the Latin Mass people, who allegedly are knowing that the Masons are a problem in the Vatican, and speaking out against that situation, they're infiltrated as well. So the corruption has extended everywhere. And that's why people have to realize how serious of a situation this is, because how can there be justice if the people in control of the world all have an allegiance with each other to allow their brother Masons to commit any crime against humanity, rape, pillage, steal, murder, doesn't matter what the case may be, as long as you're in this little club, you will be immune. They will cover up for you. If we have that kind of a situation, which is what we now have, then how can anyone expect to get justice or have healing, because the medical Masons are the anti-Hippocratics, as is so wonderfully shown in the movie Anatomy 2. In education, I know that you also experienced how the Masons have infiltrated education when you wrote your PhD thesis that you titled The Ethics of Timelessness, which basically exposed this little problem, and then you had all kinds of problems getting that accepted as a thesis for your PhD. Once all of these different areas are corrupted, then how can we possibly have a world where it's got a conscience? I don't know how else to put it.
Oh no, it's absolutely, and I think people should be aware that the university degree system itself is part of the inherent problem. We have a ranking system, a caste system that we have somehow allowed ourselves to accept. I mean, it used to be that a guru or a great teacher was recognized simply by the passion of his words and the fact that he could move people in an emotional way to examine themselves. What we have now is a teacher judged in terms of merit by how many credentials they have behind their name, how many degrees and where these degrees have been obtained. This is fundamentally a grievous error that we've committed, because when you think about the elite universities that exist, like the Ivy League universities of the United States, and that very term Ivy League should be something that you should pay attention to, because the branches of the ivy is a plant that goes off in different directions, but it's all connected, and the Illuminati bloodlines are all connected. And so the elite families, the Eastern Establishment families, have their foot in the door. They can study at these elite academies without really making the grade, as the current so-called president has done, and his father before him, and his grandfather before him. Yale University, the home of the Skull and Bone Society. So the university degree system is based on the first 3 degrees of Freemasonry: entered apprentice, fellow craft, and master mason. And I've said it many times that when you enter as the apprentice, you can study what you want, write what you want, think what you want, because no one cares, because if you only graduate with that degree, the bachelor's degree, you'll never occupy a high position in society, and therefore no one will pay much attention to what you have to say anyway, because that's the way we are. We worship status. We bow to people of a higher position and rank in society. That's what we've been trained to do, like trained seals. This is why we have this problem, because we've agreed to a system based on rank. It is nothing less than a caste system, and I view it to be very, very primitive. And we call ourselves civilized, but I'm sorry to say, we are not. We are highly barbaric, and we are highly primitive in our conduct. And, you know, it's very reptilian, in my view, to have this kind of mentality of respecting the alpha being, the one that's highest in the power structure. And it seems to me to be a highly backward, barbaric society that we've built, and we had better devise a new paradigm for our own for our own sakes.
Well, that's what we're doing. I mean, the people that have a conscience, the independent critical thinkers, are coming together, and I certainly view you as that person in the educational arena. But I always laugh when a client calls me up and tells me, well, you know, they went to the Mayo Clinic or the Cleveland Clinic or one of these institutions of higher medicine. What a joke. The only way that these institutions are able to carry on their reputations is by going along with the status quo, the powers that be, who are creating disease. They have no desire to cure anything, because there's no money to be made in curing disease. Once we eradicate inoculations especially, there won't be any disease, and so there won't be any need for medicine and all of these drugs that do nothing to cure anything. All they do is sometimes get rid of the symptoms. So people have to start to ask themselves these hard questions. And as far as education goes, whenever I speak to a young person that's talking about going to college, I always ask them, what is the purpose of doing so? As far as I'm concerned, and I do have a few alphabets after my name, but as far as I'm concerned, those alphabets are only an indication of brainwashing, because that's what occurs when you go to these institutions of quote-unquote higher learning. They tell you what they want you to think. Common sense is never involved. And as both of us have experienced, once you step out of the box, they come after you with a vengeance. Critical thinking is not allowed.
Yeah, it's absolutely. Critical thinking is not allowed, and innovative thinking and advancing the field of knowledge is not allowed. And they will fail your PhD if you do advance the field of knowledge, and they will tell you that you've done precisely the reverse, which is not to advance the field of knowledge. They will tell you that you have failed to do so, when in fact it is they who have failed. It is the system that is an abject failure. It is they who bow to the system and comply with its mandate who are the real failures of society, and shame on them. And really, they are going to find in a few short years, when they've advanced towards the retirement years, that they have wasted their lives. They're going to feel great shame and great sorrow that they never did anything productive or constructive with their lives to help humanity. And I witnessed this in Korea very frequently, where I taught for 11 years. I would try to invite these so-called scholars and academics to attend a peace conference in India. And I was always told, in no uncertain terms, that they were not interested in attending any kind of conference, however noble its cause, in a country like that, because all they were concerned about was status and position and doing something that would look good on their curriculum vitae and would actually help them to advance their career and go to a higher position at a more elite academy of learning. And so the idea of going to a conference in a place like India would not appeal to them, because they would be wanting to go to prestigious institutions in America or Europe, where it would look good to their colleagues that they had attended a conference in those locales. Why, pray tell, would you want to go to a peace conference in a first world developed country, which comparatively speaking has far less social ills and problems than a country like India? If you really want to make a difference and you really want to understand the plight of the people that you're supposed to be concerned about, you would presumably want to go to a place where you could see some of these social problems firsthand, so that when you are up at the podium making a speech, it will not ring hollow, but will ring with a great resonance of truth, because you're speaking about what you ardently feel and have some humanity for. But these people don't, and they write these papers that are just shameful, with titles like Iraqi Refugee Displacements, Post-1991 War, or what have you, which shows no heart, no soul, no commitment to improving the situation, no consideration for the suffering and the pain that these human beings have been through. And if this is what education has become, then I should say we should close the doors of the academy and turn the youth loose to educate themselves, because clearly we are miseducating our youth.
I totally agree with you. Not only miseducating them, but dumbing them down, forcing them to have inoculations, which are destroying their brains in order to go to school to begin with, and then feeding them propaganda as to, you know, history. I always say, whose story is it? It's his story. It's the story of the people who are controlling the earth. It's all illusion. There's no truth in there. And as far as I'm concerned, any young people that I speak to, I always encourage them to find something that they are good at and to, you know, pursue that goal, whatever that goal may be. To go to school and get a bunch of letters after your name, it's not accomplishing anything. In fact, if you get into that system and you use critical thinking, you will immediately be ostracized. So unless you're actually signing up to be a sheep, basically you shouldn't be involved in that system. Not to mention how much that system costs. It's just a total fraud in and of itself. But this is happening in all areas of our world, and that's why people have to wake up and realize as to what's going on. If you could, I would like you to talk a little bit about the oaths of the Masons and what they actually have to promise once they're indoctrinated into the secret society, as well as the different levels and how they basically weed out the people that have no conscience. And at the highest levels, they actually inform them that, you know, you're worshiping Lucifer and that you're basically doing what thou wilt, which was the motto of Aleister Crowley, that anything goes as long as you're doing it for the Brotherhood, which is part of the Illuminati in terms of controlling the world.
Yes, absolutely. If you look at the military intelligence world and the different intelligence agencies out there, most of these people are in the already initiated brothers of some kind of fraternal knighthood order, either the Knights of the Rosy Cross or the very often the Knights of Malta or Freemasonry, the Freemason order. So what that tells you is that these people are deemed preferred. They're the preferred caste that you want to admit into the military intelligence. Now, what is military intelligence all about? It's about secrecy, and it's about oath-taking, and it's about making sure that you don't betray the secrets of your military, and that you engage in these clandestine activities without divulging any of the secrets related to them. So if you've already gone through a protocol that requires you to take oaths on pain of death, and in these oaths you've stated that you will not reveal the secrets of your fraternal order under any circumstances, and if you do, these grave sort of consequences will come to you. Everything from a very painful ritual assassinations. For example, I can give you the basic blood oath in the first degree of Freemasonry, which is that if you betray the secrets of the order, you will have your tongue plucked out from the roots. You will have your heart torn from your chest cavity, burned to ash and cast to the four winds, and your body shall be buried at the mouth of a river where the tide comes in and out twice a day. Does this stuff happen? Yeah. For example, Roberto Calvi, who's been dubbed God's banker because of his involvement in Operation Gladio and the P2 Freemason scandal, and the fact that he was engaged in the laundering of drug money through the Vatican Church in order to facilitate the acquired funds that were necessary to get Operation Gladio up to speed, which was a post-World War II operation that carried on probably until this day, but certainly into the 1980s when the P2 Freemason scandal broke. And it involved a number of stay-behind, what they call stay-behinds, which were agents that had formerly worked for Nazi Germany or the KGB, and also British and French and German intelligence assets as well. And they started targeting the civilian population of Europe with these horrible terrorist attacks, demonizing the communists for these attacks and doing their level best to prevent the spread of communism through this kind of, how can I call it, psychological warfare, black operations type of activities, all of which were being funded by the illegal drug trade, many of the monies being laundered through the Vatican Church because it was considered an offshore bank according to Italian banking law, because the 108 acres that belong to the territory known as Vatican functions as a separate country with its own constitution, its own laws, etc. So they were using the Vatican as the Vatican Bank as the money laundering bank, and the head of Banco Ambrosiano, Roberto Calvi, was called in by a American gangster who somehow managed to wend his way into an archbishop position in the Vatican, a man by the name of Marcinkus, who was the head of the Vatican Bank at the time, had Roberto Calvi cooking the books and hiding all kinds of this mafioso money offshore in secret accounts in places like Panama, etc. It cost the Vatican billions. It cost the Italian economy billions. It was a huge fiscal crisis for Italy. It took years to come out of the fallout of this situation. When Calvi was exposed, he was facing serious indictments and a jail sentence of 5 years. And somehow they convinced him to leave the country and to go to England. And he foolishly allowed his handlers to convince him to do so. Had he remained in Italy, he might be alive today, but the British just don't really understand Italian affairs, and it was a more convenient location for them to whack him or bump him off, shall we say. So that was the biggest mistake he ever made. When they found him with bricks in his pocket, which I suppose symbolize masonry in a sort of way. He was found hanging from Blackfriars Bridge. His Italian leather shoes were dipping in the River Thames. This is a place where the tide most certainly comes in and out twice a day. As for his tongue, well, the coroner's report doesn't say anything about it, but I shouldn't be surprised if he had lost his capacity to speak, so to speak. And as for his heart, well, again, there's no mention of it in the coroner's report. But it's not like they have to carry out the ritual in a point-by-point fashion. They just have to refer to it, and the illusion is clear. This is the punishment that's accorded to those that have taken the oath of the first degree. There's other examples. There's the third degree of Freemasonry, which is a ritual oath that commemorates the assassination of an architect who was the designer of King Solomon's Temple. And when he was murdered, the blows that he received were in both temples, and a final fatal blow with a stone hammer that took him down in the forehead. And again, I must reiterate, this is not conspiracy theory, this is not conspiracy nonsense. I have seen sat with a man from Pakistan. He was born there. He became Canadian. I'm no longer in contact with him. I met him in Seoul, Korea. I had heard that he had fled Pakistan for his life and had brought his family to Vancouver. But it wasn't until I was sitting with him and had his tongue loosen up with a bit of Korean rice wine that I got the whole story. And it turns out that because Benazir Bhutto, and this is something that people also are not aware of, is that there are a lot of women in the Masonic lodges, and a lot more than you would think. And certainly prominent and powerful women like Benazir Bhutto are often brought into lodges, and she belonged to his Masonic lodge in Pakistan, and she asked for a campaign contribution for re-election, and he, being a high-flying corporate mogul in the country, was approached. He refused. That was considered a double cross or a betrayal of a brother, in this case a sister, and he paid the price dear. He received the ritual torture known as the third degree. Why they spared him, I guess just his luck. But I saw the scars with my own eyes. He had the scars on the temples, as you would expect, and he had one in the middle of his forehead. So he had been through the third degree ritual torture, no mistaking it. So, conspiracy theory, I'm sorry, folks, I get a little impatient with that phrase, because it's real. It happens on a daily basis. Yes. And if you're not aware of it, then I'd say you're complicit in the process, because it's probably happening in your workplace as I speak. It's probably happening in your social circle as I speak. It's probably happening in your community clubs as I speak, and so on. It means breathe together. It's derived from the Latin. And whenever you get a group of people breathing together in common agreement and wishing to ostracize a certain individual or individuals, we have what's called the conspiracy. And that's not a theory, folks. You should know that. It's happened to you probably innumerable times, and it's happened
Wait,
to your
well,
friends.
Let me just comment. That's so important what you're saying, Tim, because, of course, this whole term conspiracy theory was developed by the Minions, by the Illuminati, the Masons, and everybody else that's involved in these secret societies to make people who talk about these obvious realities look like they're psych cases. And it's true what you're saying. Everybody that's listening, I'm sure, has experienced this. As a matter of fact, I experienced this in medicine. And when you told me about that movie, Anatomy 2, I cannot strongly enough recommend all the listeners get that movie. It was filmed in Germany. It's got English subtitles. And it basically shows exactly what's happening in medicine, that the people at the top are the ones who always do the wrong thing. They will kill anyone. They will experiment on anyone. And I saw this for myself when I was studying to become a surgeon, and I always wondered, why are the worst doctors being elevated in positions of authority? And that movie was what made me realize that those were the anti-Hippocratics, the medical Masons. And that's what's happening in every area. And that's why we're in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, fortunately, there are some exceptions, and you'll find people of great competence and doing tremendously good work up in the higher echelons. It's rare in this day and age, but I have seen it. But yeah, you're right, Rebecca. The general trend is to promote people that are either without conscience or incompetent, and to see it illustrated in terms of how it's done. Just watch an old Hollywood goldie like Mr. Smith Goes to Washington and see how, you know, the elite decide that they're going to choose as a new senator someone that they view as a dupe and a patsy and someone who would be easily led, naive and kind of foolish and will be led around by the nose and follow orders and fall into compliance and be a perfect Christmas tiger and lap dog. And so this Jefferson Smith, who's a Boy Scout leader, is chosen for precisely the reasons that he's viewed as an incompetent and as someone that will be utterly inept and will have to be led by the hand. And it turns out that he may not be the brightest bulb in the he may not be the brightest bulb in the room, but at least he had a sense of right and wrong. And if you have that, then I'd say you're ahead of the game, because that's what they want to destroy in you. They do it through various forms of manipulation, but they try to tempt you into a life where you'll be not following the dictates of conscience, but will sell your soul and to remain true, and so on, is really basic. You need a sense of right and wrong, and keep it close to your heart.
Exactly. And that's what all of us have to do, and to realize that we have all been given the ability to discern the truth. Unfortunately, with all of the poisons that we're being exposed to, and the fluoride in the water, and the psychiatric drugs that more than 50% of the American population are now on, et cetera, people are having a trouble discerning the truth for themselves and realizing that there's something wrong with this picture. But when you get that feeling that there's something wrong, in reality, there is something wrong, and you have to start to investigate things, if not for yourself, for your progeny, for the children that you have. I can't even imagine the world that we're going to have if we do not stand up and do the right thing at this time. We are truly at a very important point in all of human history, and I know myself that it is going to be funny how it all works out, because the powers that be are being exposed on an ever-increasing level. And I thank you so much, Tim, for all that you're doing. Once again, Tim's website is shakesaspear.com. That's shakes with an S. And he has an internet radio show as well on thatradio.com on Mondays from 10 to 11 p.m. And, Tim, do keep in touch. Keep on doing what you're doing. And truth will win out in the end. It always does. Thank you so much for being on the broadcast.
Well, thank you for having me, and we will certainly be keeping in touch. And thanks again, Rebecca.
Okay, God bless. Good night.
Bye.